All right, Jabbo, say good morning. Let us begin. We have a... Oh, 1 second. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Mamish, an incredible daf ahead of us today. I want to begin by thanking our sponsor for today's daf, by thanking Gail and Hirsch Goldberg for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of Hirsch's son, Jonathan Lewis Goldberg, Yonason Leib, Ben Moshe Tzvi Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. And I both say with that, let us begin. So really, it's always a privilege to learn Torah, but these Gemaras are just absolutely dramatically amazing. So today's daf is Kuf Yotes 119. We've got a lot to do today. We are picking up Emir Tzashem on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ches 118. And we are picking up at, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. The first word on the line is Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Chamesh Be'ilos Ba'alti, V'natasi Chamisha Arazin B'Yisrael. Literally, I engaged in five acts of relations. And as a result, I planted 5 cedars for the Jewish people. So the assumption what Rabbi Yossi is saying is, I had 5 acts of relations and I was privileged to have 5 sons who themselves went on to become great Torah scholars. So the Gemara says, Uman Inun, who are the 5 cedars? Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Loz Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafter Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. Didn't Rabbi Yossi have a sixth son as well? Va'ika Vardimus. What about Vardimus? He was another son of Rabbi Yossi, to which the Gemara says, Hainu Vardimus, Hainu Menachem. So Vardimus and Menachem were the same ones. Menachem was his name. Isof Menachem was his name. Why call him Vardimus? Va'amai Karde Vardimus, Shepanov Domin Leveret. Because his face resembled a rose. He looked so beautifully. It's such a beautiful complexion. His face resembled a rose. Rabbi Yossi is saying that he had 5 acts of relations. So what it sounds like is he was with his wife 5 times throughout his marriage. And that was the entirety of his conjugal relationship with his wife. What about the fact that there's a mitzvah of ona, that a husband has an obligation of physical intimacy with his wife? So what does that mean? Ela ima chamesh ba'ilos ba'alti v'shanisi. But this goes back to Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara says that if a person wants to be guaranteed to have a boy, so again, part at least the Gemara says that if one engages in 2 repeated acts of relations, we call boel v'shona, that ultimately, again, that's a recipe for having male offspring. So he said, 5 times I did this, and it resulted in these 5 incredible sons. Am Rabbi Yossi, I must say, very beautiful Gemara. Miyamai lo karisi li ishti ishti ula shori shori. I never called my wife, and my ox. Ella li ishti besi. I called my wife my home, ula shori sadi. And I called my shar, my ox, my field. So I'll say, okay, what's the point of this? So if you look at Rashi says something amazing. Lo karisi li ishti ishti, sha'af sicha schulin. What Rabbi Yossi was saying was, even my sicha schulin, I was careful that even when I talk in my everyday mundane talk, should be filled with incredible meaning. Yesh lumot him and a chachma. So what does it mean? I never called my wife, I called her my home. So Rashi says over here, she ikar shalbayis. In other words, he said, I called my wife my home. I had to call my wife my home because ultimately, again, she is the akeres shabayis. She is the cornerstone of my house. Just like, I mean, not just like, but you understand meaning, just like my ox, ultimately, again, is the cornerstone of my field. I don't mean to equate the two. Rabbi Yossi wasn't meaning to equate the two. He was just making a statement about the things in life that are pivotal to accomplishment. Just like at the end of the day, obviously you can't accomplish anything in the field without the ox. Nothing could be accomplished in the home without the wife as well. Very beautiful Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Miyamai lo niskalti lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. Rabbi Yossi says, I never looked at my bris milah. In other words, here he seems to be talking about a heightened level of tznius, a heightened level of modesty of saying that I never looked at the male member, I never looked at the Ever, the Makom Mila. Ini, is that so? V'ha'amar le Rebbe, my time akar l'cha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Yet ultimately one time they said to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe, why do they call you Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Right? Why do they give you that title? Amar lohu, because he said, Miyamai lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. Because Rebbe said, I've never looked at my Mila, my Makom Mila. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that that's what makes Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which is again a heightened level of tznius, so I wouldn't call Rabbi Yossi Rabbeinu HaKadosh as well. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Rabbi Milsa Achrisi Havabe. Rabbi had an additional heightened level of modesty, which was what? Shelo hichnis yado tachas avneto. He never moved his hands below his belt. In other words, that Rebbe was always makbid that his hands should never move below his belt, so that he shouldn't inadvertently touch himself and cause arousal, which could ultimately, again, lead to a seminal emission. This heightened level of incredible behavior in order to avoid any type of impure thoughts or unnecessary arousal was something that marked Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We'll say it also goes to a different motif, which is that ultimate Kedusha is found in the realm of sexual purity. It's fascinating. This already Rashi in Parashas Kedoshim, where he says Kedoshim Tiyu, Rashi says that ultimately, again, have a prusha min ha'arayos, because we know that ultimately immorality is often the greatest challenge in life. And being drawn into immorality in so many different ways is the great challenge. One who is able to go ahead and maintain a heightened level of purity, that's Kedusha. What makes someone a Rabbeinu HaKadosh, right? What gives someone that title? It's not necessarily the learning, because a lot of people could do the learning, but rather, again, it's this adherence to a heightened level of personalistic moral purity. Quite incredible. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Miyamai la'ro kars beisi imre chaluki. The beams of my home never saw the seams of my garment. We'll say what this means, Rashi points out, is, remember, they used to have like a one-piece tunic, and what you would do is you would kind of like take it off, you would pull it off you, and it would go inside out. Rabbi Yossi was saying is, if you would do that, there'd be a few moments before you got into bed where a person would be unclothed. What Rabbi Yossi is saying is, I never stood in my house unclothed. Instead, what I did is at night, I would get into bed under the covers and undress under the covers. This way, again, I was never unclothed. Literally, the beams of my home never saw me unclothed. Rabbi Yossi, miyamai lo avarti al divrei chaveri. Rabbi Yossi says, I never violated the words of my friends. Rabbi Yossi, this is a fascinating Gemara. Yodea ani ba'atzmi she'eni kohen. For example, Rabbi Yossi says, I know I'm not a kohen, but im omrim li chaveri alei leduchen. But if my friends came to me and said, go up in duchen, ani ola, I would go up. Suppose it's a very strange Gemara, right? I always listen to my friends, right? If my chaverim told me to do something, I never violated it. So again, that by itself is a nice sentiment, ultimately highlighting the idea. Rabbi Yossi is saying, I am a trusted chaver. You know, my friends could always depend on me. If they needed something from me, I would do it. What's the pshat that I would go up to Dochen? That doesn't seem right. So Tosis actually brings down over here. He says, Lo yadari ma iser yesh bezara ola ledochen, im lo mishum bracha levatala. So it could be that the only issue associated with a non-kohen going up to Duchin would be the bracha that the Kohanim make. Meaning to say the psukim, anyone could say the psukim, right? In fact, many of us use those psukim to bless our children on Shabbos night. So you could say those psukim. So apparently what Rabbi Yossi must have meant is if they told me to go up in Duchin, I would go up in Duchin. Not that I wouldn't make the bracha, I would not make the bracha, but lamaisa again, I would go up to Duchin. Okay, on Rabbi Yossi, miyamai lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'achoris. We'll say this is an incredible statement. Now here, let's translate it and then we'll see what it means. Rabbi Yossi says, I never said something that I had to backtrack, right? I never said something that I had to deny. First of all, I was like, what an accomplishment, right? To be able, I never said something that it, when confronted with my words, I was like, no, maybe I didn't mean like that. I never said something like that. Now, Rashi explains a little bit differently. Rashi says, "Lo amarti davar shech bechazed lachorei, shem ba mi sha'amarti alav davar, b'shal im amarti kin alav, lo chazarti bi leimor, eno kidvarov, lefi shemetchila emes amarti." Supposed to listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says, whenever I said something about someone, if that person would hear what I said and confronted me with what I said about that person, said, did you say this about me? Rabbi Yossi said, I always said yes. If I said it, I stood by it. I will say, which think about this incredible idea. Rabbi Yossi saying is, I never said something about another person that I would be afraid for that person to confront me about. What a level to be on, right? What a level to be on. So how many times has it happened that unfortunately we say things about people, we would never say it to their face, right? We would never say it to their face. We say it to someone else and it gets back to them. And then we get confronted and then I have to him and her and explain and then blah, blah. Rabbi Yossi says, if you wouldn't be comfortable being confronted about by the person who is the subject matter of what you are saying, who is the subject of your words, then don't say it. Rabbi Yossi says, I never had to back down from something that I said about someone when they confronted me if I said it or not. Now Rashi happens to point out over here, he says, Vekasavar kol milsa demis amra ba'api mara, leis ba mishum lishnabisha. Supposedly this happens to be an interesting din in Lashon Hara. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that anything you would say to someone's face is not Lashon Hara. The Rabbi Yossi, please don't apply that standard, right? Because there are some people who, for that, they're like, all right, incredible. I have no problem saying a lot of stuff to a lot of people's face. So we don't pass him this way in Hilchos Lashon Hara. In Hilchos Lashon Hara, we say, even if you would say it to someone's face, it may still be Lashon Hara. But this is Rabbi Yossi's idea. Rabbi Yossi's idea was Lashon Hara is something, or Rechilas is something you say. Rechilas is something you say behind someone's back. You wouldn't say it to their face. But if you would say it to their face, that's not alcohol. Okay, so that was Rabbi Yossi's model. But I will say, but the Yisod being, what a way to live life. What a way to live life. Don't say something about someone that you would not be comfortable saying right to their face. If you wouldn't say it to their face, don't say it behind their back either. What a way to live. So the Gemara says, I'm Rab Nachman. Tesili, Rab Nachman says, literally tesili means like I should get a shkoyach. Right? Literally, it should come to me. I should get reward. In other words, give me a shkoyach. Dekayamasli gimosudis b'shabbos. Because I'm very makban, I'm very careful with shalashudis. Having all three meals on Shabbos. I'm Rab Yehuda. Tesili, dekayamas ien tfilo. Rabbi Yehuda says, again, give me a shkoyach. Why? Because I am very careful with my kavana in tefillah. I daven with kavana. That's what Tosa says. In tefillah over here means kavana in tefillah. I daven with a lot of kavana. I'm Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshua. Tisi li, delosag yedalat ames begilei rosh. So Rav Huna says, give me a shkoyach. I never go dalat ames without a yarmulke, without a head covering. I'm Rav Sheish says, tisi li, dekayamas mitzas tefillin. Rav Sheish says, give me a shkoyach. I always am incredibly meticulous with the mitzvah of tefillin. V'ram Nachman, tisi li, dekayamas mitzas tzitzis. Give me a shkoyach because I'm very careful with tzitzis. Rav Yosef, Berei de Rabba. So Rav Yosef said to the other Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avucha b'may zar tvei. Tell me, what was your father Rabba? What was the mitzvah he was most meticulous with? Amar lei b'tzitzis. My father's very careful with tzitzis, because what happened? Yom achad havakasalik b'darga. One day he was going up a ladder. Ifsik lechute. And his tzitzis got stuck on a rung of the ladder, and a string ripped off. And he would not move until the string of the tzitzis was fixed. He didn't want to wear a four-cornered garment that was un-tzitzist, and therefore, again, he would not move from the ladder until the tzitzis was fixed. Pretty incredible. We'll say, I just want to point something out over here. If you notice, these great rabbinic personalities, they're discussing the mitzvahs that they feel are like the dominant fixtures of their life, the things that they feel they are incredibly accomplished in. I just want to point out, if you notice, like, no one says, I ran into a fiery building and saved someone, right? No one says, I went ahead and gave all my money to tzedakah. But those are great things also. But if you notice, what they're highlighting are the little things, the davening with kavana, wearing a yarmulke, wearing tzitzis, going ahead and making sure that I'm putting on tefillin. It's interesting that at the end of the day, what they're really highlighting and focusing on are the Judaic activities of daily living. And that if we're meticulous with these mitzvahs, which again, are quote-unquote relatively easy, these are not really the mesiras nefesh mitzvahs, that at the end of the day, the schar and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so incredible. It's really, sometimes we think, we've spoken on this many times, we think that like to be a great Jew demands spiritually heroic activity. But it's actually not true. I mean, it is true at times, but 9.9 out of 10 times, being a good Jew does not require spiritual heroism. Being a Jew just requires doing good things, doing the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you day in and day out. Yamakot, tzitzis, davening with kavana, shalashudis, right? Oh, Nebuch, I have to eat 3 meals. Okay, I'll pull it together and eat. You know, these are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just asks of me to be a good person. It's really incredible. Let's go back there. Both say, great Gemara. Vam Rabbaye. Tisili, give me a shkoyach. Why? Chazina, because tichi chazina tzor mirabban d'sholom esechta, whenever I see a Talmud Chacham, who finishes a Masechta, top of Kof Yotes, Avdina Yoma Tavel Rabbanan. I make a beautiful Suda for the Yeshiva. Rabosai, here is one of the sources for the concept of a Siyum upon completing a Masechta. So right, so here you have Abaye saying that me, whenever I see a Talmud Chacham who finished a Masechta, I make a beautiful Siyum. And by the way, not just the Siyum for the person who finished, but I make a siyum for the whole yeshiva. Which Shavuot says something, you see something very beautiful over here. That when a Jew makes a siyum, when a Jew finished learning something, it's not just a simcha for the Jew who finished the learning. It's simcha for Klal Yisrael. Simcha for Klal Yisrael. Really incredible. Amar Rava, tisili, dechi asat tzor mirabanan lekamai ledina, lo mezagino reish abe sadja, kamad lo bahafna b'schusei. So Rava says, give me a shkayach, because whenever a Talmud Chacham comes before me to adjudicate a did Torah, I don't go ahead and put my head on the pillow until I find some merit for him. Now the Marsha points out, this sounds a little bit troubling actually. What does that mean? That he's always going to rule in favor of the Talmud Chacham? No, what it means is as follows. That halach halamayis will say, a dayan, right? Again, even in a Beis Din has the right to say, court adjourned, right? Court adjourned, right? So again, you don't have to finish. So what Rava was saying was when a Talmud Chacham is involved in a case, I do my best to wrap up the case as expeditious as a way if possible. Doesn't mean that I always rule in favor of the Talmud Chacham, right? But at the end of the day, I don't allow the case to lag on. Amr Mar Barabashi, this is so beautiful. Pasul Nalei Letzor Mirabana Ledina. I am never fit to serve on any Beis Din where a Talmud Chacham is one of the litigants. Why? My taima? Dechaviv alai kegufai. Ultimately, again, because I love Talmidei Chachamim as I love myself. So I recuse myself from any Din Torah dealing with the Talmud Chacham because it's like being in a Din Torah, being with a relative. Vein Adam, Rose, listen to this. Vein Adam ra chov al yatzmo. And I will say, person very rarely sees faults in himself. I will say, so by the way, a whole shas is worth that line, right? Ein adam roa. So there's many variations of this phrase. Ein adam roa nige atzmo. Ein adam roa chova li atzmo. Generally, I will say again, a lot of us are very astute in seeing the faults in others, but yet very, very derelict in seeing the faults in ourselves. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, listen, anytime a Talmud Chacham comes to the Beis Din, I recuse myself. I can't be impartial in a case like this because like a relative and a person can see shortcomings or faults in themselves and in those closest to them. Rabbi Chanina, I will say, get ready for this Gemara. Listen to this timing. Remember, it's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Rabbi Chanina, me'ate fekaya panya demale shabsa. Rabbi Chanina, as he would prepare for Shabbos, he would wrap himself in his Shabbos garment. And ultimately, again, and he would go out and he would say, Bo v'neitze, let's go out and let's greet Likras Shabbos Hamalka. Let's go out and greet the Shabbos Queen. So he would wrap himself and he goes, I've been thinking about this Gemara a lot. Because the truth is, so, you know, we've been davening outdoors. And many of us will still continue, many will still continue to daven outdoors. So it's incredible to see that the initial Kabbalah Shabbos, I will say, the initial Kabbalah Shabbos, as we're going to see, was outdoors. Right? You have Rabbi Chanina going, there's something beautiful to going out and greeting the Shabbos. Let's go out. Let's go out and greet the Shabbos. So beautiful. Rabbi Yanai, lavish manei mali Shabbos. Rabbi Yanai would put on a Shabbos clothing. But Amar, bowi kala, bowi kala. Right? Come queen, referring to the Shabbos as the queen. Rashi points out, why is Shabbos referred to as a queen? So ultimately, again, Hachi Karila, the Shabbos mitoch Chaviva. Shabbos is right. So Shabbos is called the bride. Shabbos is called the queen as a term of endearment. Very beautiful. So Rabbi Barav Huna, Ekala Lebei, Rabbi Barav Nachman. So Rabbi Barav Huna went to the house of Rabbi Nachman. This is a great story. So what happens? So Karivo Le Tlas Savi Tachid. They brought out before him three sa'ah of wafers coated in oil. Oil-coated wafers. A delicacy. So what's this? Listen to this. So Amarle Mihavi Adisun Dasinus. Rabbi Rafuna says, did you know I was coming? That you prepared such delicacies? Amrulo Mi Adifas Lan Mina. No, it's actually not for you. Are you any better than Shabbos? He came for Shabbos. What was a little bit of those embarrassing moments? So Rabbi Rafuna said, oh, you didn't have to, right? You didn't have to prepare this whole spread for me. To which they said, no, it's not for you, by the way. It's not for you. It's actually for Shabbos. It's actually for Shabbos. But we're so happy you came. It's quite a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Abin Zabin Betleisar Istari Pshite Bisra. Let's listen to this. Betleisar Tabchi Umashim Le'atzinor Dedasha. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Abba used to buy 13 beautiful cuts of meat from 13 butchers. And what would he do? Every time he would bring a piece of meat, he'd buy a piece of meat, he would quickly run home, deposit it at the doorway of the kitchen. And he would tell his kitchen staff, Va'amrilu, Ashur hai, quickly prepare it. So Rabbi says, what happened with the Gemara saying over here is Rabbi Abba would keep buying food for Shabbos. Whenever he would find something nice, a nice cut of meat from a different butcher, he would go and he would tell you, right, he would buy it, quickly bring it home, and he would tell them, quickly prepare it. Rabbi Abba, Havi Yosef Atach Taka Dishina, Umoshif Nura. Rabbi Abba would sit on an ivory stool, and he would go ahead and he would stoke the fire. So here we're just talking about how great Rabbeim. So you will say sometimes you think that Shabbos preparations, okay, that's for the household people, right? That's for the household staff, if you have the household staff, right? So now the Gemara is pointing out over here is that halacha lemaisa, these great Rabbeim participated in the preparations for Shabbos themselves. So ultimately, again, you see Rabbi Abba was running to the supermarket, right? Rabbi Abba was running back and forth to the butcher. You see again, Rabbi Avo was sitting and stoking the fire. Rav Anan, Lavish Gudna, Rav Anan would put on his apron, a black apron, on Erev Shabbos. Why? Ultimately, again, to prepare. He was cooking. He was getting ready for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, this not, the Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, they got them Shavisham and Kedir the Rabbo, Ayimzog Ban Kosovo. We actually saw this Gemara 3 days ago, by the coin, by the Chumash Hadeshan. When the coin takes out the ash, he wears one type of clothing. And when he does the Avod, he wears a different type of clothing. So you see that ultimately, again, Rav Anan would put on his apron, his Erev Shabbos apron, ultimately, again, to prepare for Shabbos. Rav Safra, Mechayech Resha. Rav Safra went ahead and he would singe the head of the animal. So if they had, they're preparing the head of an animal. And ultimately again, they were, so he would prepare the head of the animal. Rava, Malach Shibuta. Rava would salt a fish. So again, Abba said they're all involved in the preparation of the Shabbos. Rav Huna, Mavdik Shragi, Rav Huna would make sure. So Abba said, it's actually very interesting. So what this sounds like is Rav Huna would light candles the covered Shabbos. So Abba said, so what this sounds like either is that literally he would just actually light candles of Shabbos, or Abba said, I think we saw this before, there's a concept that even if a person is privileged to have a wife who is lighting Shabbos candles, there's an inyan for the man to light the candles first and then extinguish them to make sure that the wicks will light. So either it means that Rav Huna would actively light candles, Rashi points out he had a large home and a lot of candles, he would light candles, or that he would prepare the candles for his wife. Rav Papa, Gadol Psilta, Rav Papa would go out and prepare the wicks. Rav Chista, Paris Silka. Rav Chista would go out and cut up the meats. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Matzlich Itzivi, they would cut up the wood, the small pieces of wood for the fire. Rav Zera, Misasis Tsusse. Rav Zera would go ahead and kindle the fire with the small pieces of wood. Okay. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Mekasef Va'ayel Mekasef Enofik. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he would carry packages in the house, out of the house. Amar Ilu Maklin Lid Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi Mila Mekasef. It's not because he said, if my Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi coming to visit me, would I not schlep stuff around for in honor of their visit. Others say Rabbi Amri, Rabbi Asi, Mikasi Vaili. Others say no, it was Rabbi Amri, Rabbi Asi who schlepped stuff in and out. Amri, Ilu Iklon Lon Rabbi Yochanan Milok Mikasinan. They said, if our Rabbi Yochanan was coming, would we not schlep stuff in and out? So we'll say, here we go. Now I want to introduce you to an incredible Gemara to prepare for this. We'll say, get ready for this story. An incredible, incredible story. Yosef Mokir Shavihala. We'll say there was a guy by the name of Yosef Mokir Shabbos. We'll say, I just want to point out, these Gemaras would be incredible anytime, but how amazing is it to learn these Gemaras on Erev Shabbos? And not only that, how incredible is it to learn these Gemaras on Erev Shabbos when it's a legal holiday? All right, maybe not for Jerry and David Kahana, but for everyone else, right? I think everyone else. I'm looking around. It's hard for me to see everyone. Hey, but ultimately, and right, there's a little bit of a less of a rush. So you get to go ahead and ingest. But I will say, I'm giving you literally, I would urge you, take these Gemaras, learn them at your Shabbos table because they're incredible. Listen to this. Yosef Mokir Shabbos. This guy was, his name was Yosef Mokir Shabbos. Yosef, the one who appreciated, loved, and valued, treasured Shabbos. Listen to this. So there was a certain Gentile who lived in Yosef's neighborhood who was very wealthy. So let's listen to this. There was some sorcerer who lived in his neighborhood, and he said, listen, I see in my prophecies that what? That Yosef Mokir Shabbos one day is going to inherit all of your wealth. So the Nachri, the Gentile, gets very nervous. What does he do? Azul. So what does he do? He decides to sell off all of his assets. All of his assets. He liquefies, is that the right name? Liquidates, right? All of his, probably liquidates, not liquefies, right? Liquidates all of his assets, right? And what happens? He consolidates all of his assets into one stunning jewel. One stunning jewel. This way, again, he could have it. No one could take anything from him. Well, let's listen to this. As one day he was walking, so what did he do? And he put the jewel in his hat. So one day he's walking over the bridge. It was Erev Shabbos. And what happens? So a wind came along. Blew off his hat. So of course, blew off his hat. He lost the jewel. So a fish came along and swallowed the jewel. Okay, good. That's the end of the story. So first of all, even if the story stopped there, what a dramatic muster, Bosei. What a dramatic muster. A couple of musters. First of all, you can't run from your destiny. Right? Destiny of Chesh Baruch Hu has something in store for you. You cannot run from it. And I will say, how many times we try to make plans to circumvent the divine one instead of bending our knee to the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, in any event, the jewel is gone, swallowed up by the fish. So what happened? So the Gemara says, so what happens? Askua. So Askua, I saw Apanya Demali Shabbos. I saw a fisherman catches the fish on Erev Shabbos. I both say, I have to understand, this was a beautiful zaftig fish, like a whole gefilte, right? This was a mamish, like a beautiful zaftig fish. So what happens? What's the problem? It was already late on Erev Shabbos. So the fisherman says, listen, late on Erev Shabbos, I both say, even if you're a last minute guy, on Erev Shabbos, everybody has their fish, because remember again, it's not like today where you show up at Shlomo's or 7 Mile or wherever you go to get your fish and you come home and you put it in the whatever. Right? The most they say, getting a fish. I remember my grandma, Zichron Livracha, used to say, how did they get a fish? You went to the store, you bought a live fish, you brought it home, they put it in the bathtub, and Shalom Al Yisrael. I mean, not for the fish, Shalom Al Yisrael, but Shalom Al Yisrael for everyone else. So I say, it was a process. So the fisherman snags a big one. But he says to himself, it's already late on Erev Shabbos. Who's going to buy this? So they say, Amri Zman Zabin Kiyasha. Who's going to buy this late on Erev Shabbos? Amri, they said to him, Zilu Amtiyu Lagabe Yosef Mokir Shabbi. You know what? There's one guy. Bring it to Yosef Mokir Shabbos. Yosef Mokir Shabbos, this guy is Meshuggah for Shabbos. Everybody's got to be Meshuggah for something. Right? He's Meshuggah for Shabbos. And if he sees something nice for Shabbos, I'm telling you, he's going to buy it. They brought it to him. Zabne, sure enough, he went ahead and he bought the fish. Kare Ashkeche Marganisa. So we'll say what happens. Sure enough, Yosef Mokish opens it up, finds the beautiful jewel. Zabne Betliser Alaisa de Dinari Dava. Listen to this. He sold it, and it sold for 13 attics filled with gold. It's a lot of gold. It's a lot of gold. So let's listen to this. There was an old man who once ran into Yosef Mogir Shabbos. Amar, man di Yosef Shabsa pare Shabsa. He who borrows for Shabbos, Shabbos will repay him. Now, I will say, now what I want to point out for this, because remember again, what do you mean borrowing for Shabbos? You just saw yesterday, in yesterday's chapter, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Say Shabbos chachol, v'al titztarech lebrios. Better to make your Shabbos a weekday and don't borrow. The idea of borrowing here means lav dafka borrowing. It means spending. He who spends for Shabbos, Shabbos repays him. I will say, as we're going to, Shabbos is one of those things that whatever money you spend on Shabbos, you will get back. That's what Chazal tells us. And I will say, now I want to give the caveat. If you decide to buy, you know, a $500 bottle of wine, I don't know that you get reimbursed for that. I mean, again, that might be worth it anyway. But Lamais, I'm not sure that it covers that level. You know, there's got to be legitimate Shabbos expenses, so don't go overboard with this. But whatever is considered to be, you know, a normative Shabbos expense or a beautiful Shabbos, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you spend for Shabbos, I'll repay you for Shabbos. But Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Yossi, we'll say, listen, these are incredible Gemaras. Ashir Mishab Eretz Yisrael B'mahin Zochim. But we'll say, listen to this. The rich people in Eretz Yisrael, how do they merit wealth? Or in what merit do the rich of Eretz Yisrael get wealth? Amar lei, b'shoshim asrim, because they give ma'aser, because they tithe. Shene emar, aser ta'aser, v'imar darshins, aser b'shil shetit asher. Kadosh Baruch Hu says tithing is, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us, if you tithe your produce properly, ultimately, again, I will give it back to you, you know, even more than what you gave. So aser tithe, b'shil shetit asher, you'll become wealthy. So the wealthy of Eretz Yisrael ultimately get their wealth because they tithe. Sheva Bavel b'mayin zochin. How do the people of Bavel get their wealth? Armele b'shil shemechabdin es haTorah. Because they support Torah. They honor Torah. Because they support and honor Torah, therefore they're wealthy. Because we also remember, again, there was a period of time in history where even though there was a Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael, the dominant yeshivas were in Bavel. So therefore, again, the Gemara attributes the wealth of Babylonian Jewry to the fact that they support Torah. And in other lands, diaspora lands, why are Jews wealthy? The Gemara says, incredible. So I will say, so apparently diaspora Jewry, where does their wealth come from? From the fact that we are Mechabed Shabbos. The Amar Rabbi Chiyah Rabba Abba, Pam Achas Nisarachti Eitzel Balabais Bidelukia. Right? Belutkia, excuse me. One time, I was a guest by a householder, by a Balabas in Lutkia, Lutkia's Chutz Laretz. The Vila Fon of Shulchan Shalzov, and for Shabbos they brought before him a gold, or they brought before him in general, a golden table. Mashri Shisha Asra B'nei Adam V'sheish Esrei Shalshol Shal Kesef Kivuan Bo. So it took 16 people to carry this table. And there were 16 ropes of silver on it. Ukaros, Vikosos, Vikitonos, Utsluchios, Kavuos Alav. And it was said, all these golden utensils. The Gemara says, Va'alav Komine Meichel. And this guy had all types of delicacies. Komine Megadim, Ubisamim, Ukishemanichim also. When they put the table down, Omrim LaHashem HaAretz UMelo'o. When they put the table down, they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavens belong. Kushem HaSalkin also. When they remove the table, Omrim HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem VeHaAretz Nasan Livnei Adam. They say the heavens belong to Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the earth. Amarti lo b'ni, b'mazachis l'kach. So I'll say, so again, remember again, this was, I'm sorry, this was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said to the Balabas, tell me, my son, in what merit you have all of this wealth? Amar li katzav hayisi. The Balabas listen to this. The guy says, you know, I used to be a butcher. Omikol behema shahay sanah, and any time I had a beautiful animal, amarti zu tehe l'shabbos. I said, this one should be put aside for Shabbos. I was a butcher, and whenever I saw a nice animal, a nice cut of meat, I actively set it aside for Shabbos. Amarti lo, so we'll say, so Rabbi Yechiel says, beautiful. Right? Praiseworthy are you that you merited to such wealth, and praiseworthy is the God who has given you such wealth. So we'll say, so they understand that this man's wealth was in the merit of Shabbos. So we'll say, so it's interesting to see how, as if Chazal, so Eretz Yisrael wealth is related to Meiser, right? Charity, right? Person who's makbid on Meisers. Babylonian wealth was rooted in, right, sustaining of Torah. And Chutz La'aretz wealth is rooted in Shabbos. It's something for all of you to think. I didn't have a chance to really think this through, but Lamai says it's got to be something fascinating. There is all peace we understand. It's all peace we understand. Because remember, again, Chumas and Maestros only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah ha'tuluya ba'aretz, so it makes sense. Right? Badal, seat of Torah. Chutzar Shabbos is really something quite fascinating. Amar like Kesu Rabbi Yoshua. So let's listen to this. This is great. Great. Amar like Kesu Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. The Caesar said to Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, Bipnei mat hafshul shal Shabbos, recho nodif. Listen to this. The Caesar says, why is it that Shabbos food is so gishmak? Right? Why is it that Shabbos food has such a beautiful aroma? So Amar lo, tavlin echad yesh lanu. So Rabbi Yeshua Chanan says, because we have a special spice. And what is it called? The Shabbos shmo. The spice is called Shabbos. Shana matilin l'socho v'roicha nodif. And we put that spice, we put a little dab of Shabbos into everything you cook, and suddenly everything smells so incredible. Amar lo, tein lanu hamena. Caesar, could I have some? Where can I pick some of that up? Right? How do they sell that? Is it, can I get a small container or a large container? Where could I buy that? Is that a specialty store thing? Right? Where could I pick that up? So he says, Amar lo, kol ha-meshamer es ha-shabbos mo'ilo, v'sheino meshamer es ha-shabbos eino mo'ilo. So he said, ultimately, again, it only works if you keep Shabbos, right? The ingredient is only given to those who keep. If you keep Shabbos, you get the ingredient. If you don't keep Shabbos, then unfortunately, you don't get your mosa. And it's so true. Think about this just a moment. If somebody offered you cholent on a Wednesday, right? Or for that matter, again, right? Somebody wants to prepare for you a dish. Ah, it's a great dish. You know, some barley, some potatoes, a little bit of meat thrown into a crock pot and it sits together. Unless you're a yeshiva guy, you say, right, no, thank you. And even if you smelled it, right? Let's say you come down in your house on Shabbos morning and you smell the cholent. Mamish, it's like me'in olam haba. What's the pshat? Right? During the week, I don't know that I would really touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole. Right? But lamaisa, but Shabbos? This is what Rabbi Yishmael Chanan was saying. There's an ingredient of Shabbos. There's an ingredient of Shabbos that is just makes everything dramatically different. Amar le Reish Galus Rav Hamnuna, Mai b'chsev, v'lekadosh Hashem mechubad. What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, l'kadosh Hashem mechubad? Literally, again, for those who are sanctified to Hashem, mechubad will be honored. Amar le, say, Yom Kippur m'she'in bo lo achila v'lo shtia. This refers to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur doesn't have eating. Yom Kippur doesn't have drinking. Amar Torah kabdeo b'ksus nekiya. Rabbi said the only thing you can honor Yom Kippur with is what? Clean clothing. You honor Yom Kippur with clean clothing. Viki barato, Rav Amar lahakdim. So what does it mean? Viki barato. So what does it mean? This is back to Shabbos now. How do you honor the Shabbos? So Rav said ultimately again, lahakdim. Eat your meal earlier. If you eat a little earlier on Shabbos, eat your meal earlier on Shabbos, whether it's Shabbos night, Shabbos day, that's how you show the Shabbos meal is different. Shmuel Amar l'Acher. Shmuel says, no, eat it later. Eat it later. Why? Because if you eat it later, you'll be hungrier. And if you're hungrier, that's a greater demonstration of love for the meal. Kol Yom B'Mai Nishan. You're supposed to say, but again, at the end of the day, what if a person, Lamaisa, has meat and wine all of the time? So maybe Shabbos, my Shabbos meal might not be that different from my weekday meal. So how do I differentiate my Shabbos meal? Amar lehu, irig lisu lakdume achrua. If you normally eat early, eat later. Irig lisu lakhura akdume. If you normally eat later, eat early. Well, this is very interesting. So again, ideally the way to differentiate your Shabbos meal is eat things on Shabbos that you do not eat during the week. Actually, you don't eat during the week. But if for some reason, Baruch Hashem, you eat beautiful meals during the week as well, change up the timing. Change up the timing, eat it at a different time, but some way make your Shabbos meal different. So the Gemara says as follows, Rav Sheshes, this is very interesting, Rav Sheshes, Bekaita Mosiv Lul Rabbana Hecha Demache Shimsha. So Rav Sheshes, during the Shir on Shabbos, during the summer, he would position his Talmidim in a place where the sun would hit them. In the winter, he replaced them in a place where ultimately, again, there would be shade. So that's where we get up quickly. What's the pshat? Rav Sheshes was blind. Rav Sheshes was blind. So ultimately, again, on Shabbos, when he was giving the shir, he didn't want to go too late in order that the Talmidim should not be delayed from having their Suda. The problem is because he was blind, he couldn't see the time. So what did he do? So as I said, I guess this was before the days that people would clear their throat, right? You know, as a way of indicating that you're going a little bit too long. Like, right? So I guess they didn't do that in the shir. So, and he couldn't see people, you know, tapping on their watches or, you know, a little bit restless in their seats. So what happened is in the summertime, he would put them where the sun would hit. So that when it would get really hot, the students would have no choice but to get up. When he would hear their chairs in the winter, he would put them where it would be shady, it would be cold, so they'd have to get up because of the cold. So he would hear their chairs moving. As soon as he heard their chairs moving, he says, okay, it's time to go in and stop the shir, send everybody home for the suda. Quite beautiful. Rabbi Zeira, Amadeza, what's Rabbi Zeira? Mahader Azuzi, Azuzi Zuzi Drabanon. Shabbos said, listen to this. When Rabbi Zeira would see chavrusas, pairs of talmidei chacham learning together, he would go to him and he would say, "I want to be matusa minaychu lo techalalena lo techalune." He said, "Please, I beg of you, don't go ahead and allow your learning to come at the expense of your Shabbos suda." So we'll say this is beautiful. When Rabbi Zeira would see people who were got too preoccupied in their learning, he would tell them, "Make sure not to forget to have your Shabbos suda." Amazing. Amar Rav Yitzchak Rav Shimon Levi, Afilu Yachid Hamispal Be'er Shabbos, Tzarchlon Rav Yichula. But Rav Shimon Levi says, even if an individual is davening without a minyan, he still has to say Vayichulu. Now it happens to be here the Gemara is talking about in Shmona Esrei itself. In Shmona Esrei, even if you're davening by yourself, you still say Vayichulu. Amar Rav Hanuna, so beautiful. Hamispal Be'er Shabbos, Omer Vayichulu, Omer Vayichulu. Because Rav Hanuna said, whoever davenes in Erev Shabbos and says Vayichulu, it is as if he becomes a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creative process. Rabbi say, how incredible is this? If you say Vayichulu, and of course it's saying Vayichulu with Kavana, then it's as if you have become a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creative process. Because after all, Shnei Amar Vayichulu, Rabbi say, now the word Vayichulu literally means Vayichulu Shemar, it was complete. Altikri vayichulu ela vayichalu. They completed. So we'll say, who's the they? Me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I say vayichulu, it's as if I've become a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creative process. I'll say to yourself, that's ridiculous. How can I become a partner? It's very simple. The partnership is established by when I understand and I espouse the belief that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the creator and not just historical but active present creator as well. I become the shutef. I become the partner. Now I become the ideological partner. I become the emuna partner, but a partner nevertheless. Quite beautiful, as the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shadibor kemaisa. How do I know that speech is like action? Shenemar bidvar Hashem shamayin nasu, because the pasuk says that Hashem Baruch Hu made the heavens with His words. So we'll say this is an incredible Gemara. Why? Because again, sometimes we think it's not what you say that matters, but it's what you do. Now that is true on a personal level. Don't talk about what you're going to do, but instead do it. Absolutely. But I will say on a relationship level, on an interpersonal level, what we say has as dramatic of an effect as what we do. Words create realities. How do we know this? Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Yemo Shem created the heavens with His words. Amar Rav Chisam Rav Me'okva. Kal Mespal Be'er Shabbos V'Om Rav Yichulu. It's just incredible. When you daven Erev Shabbos and you say Vayichulu and you become that Shuddah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnei Malachi Hasharis Hamalavin Lo Adam. There are two Malachim who come and escort men, Manichin Yedein Al Rosho. So we'll say, in general, these are not the two Malachim who are with me throughout the day, throughout my life. Two Malachim escort me. They place their hands on my head, Va'omrim Lo, V'sar Avonich V'chataseich Tichupar. They say to me, Rabbi, quoting, I'm sorry, V'sar Avonecha, V'chatascha Tichupar. They say literally again, take away your Averis. Bosei, do you hear this? When I say Vayichulu with Kavana, and I become a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'may Sebereshis, my accompanying angels put their hands on my head and they say, all is forgiven. They say, all is forgiven. We'll say, this is what happens on Erev Shabbos, just with the simple Vayichulu. We'll say, get ready for this Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer. You know what? It almost feels wrong that there's so much good Gemara packed into one blot. It feels like this should be dispersed throughout Shas. I feel like we broke into the candy dish, right? Like we broke into the cookie jar. And I'm just getting everything on one day. Incredible. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer. Shnei Malachi Asharis. Melavin lo di adam be'erev Shabbos yivisak neses. Rabbi Yossi Lebezo, get ready for this Gemara. Jose, when you come home from shul, on Erev Shabbos, all right? On Shabbos, right? When you come home from shul, there are two malachim. There are two malachim who escort you. Echad tov, echad ra. One a good malach, one a bad malach. Okay, shabala beisa, when they come to your home, matzener dalok v'shulchan aruch, mitasa mutzas. If they walk into your home and your home is prepared for Shabbos, malach tov omer, yiratzon, shetehele Shabbos acheres. The malach tov, the good malach, gives you a bracha. Gives you the bracha that it should be this way, right? Comes into the home and the home is set for Shabbos. Literally, the table is set, things are clean, the bed is made. The malach, good malach, gives you a bracha. It should be this way next Shabbos. Malach ra, one amin bal karcho. And the malach ra, the bad malach, has to answer amin. He has no choice because the circumstances are such that lamaisa, again, the malach tov is right. So the Gemara says, v'im lav, what if I come into the home and the home is in disarray? Malach ra omer, the malach, bad malach says, yiratzon shetehele Shabbos acheres. This should be the way that it should be next week as well. Malach tov one amin bal karcho. And the good malach has no choice but to answer amin against his will. We'll say, what's the idea over here? So there's a number of incredible lessons over here. First thing, we'll say, this notion that we are creatures of habit. Right? So remember, the malach tov saying it should be this way next week, the malach ra saying it should be this way next week, that's not esoteric. That's saying we're creatures of habit. And when you get into habit, so if you get into a habit of having yourself and your home ready for Shabbos, that's the habit. And if you do it this week, chances are Mirat Hashem will do it next week. If Chas Shalom again, I'm in a state of disarray come Shabbos, chances are if that's happening this week, it'll happen next week as well. So it's about creating a Shabbos rhythm. I will say what it also says is, you know, sometimes a person comes home on Shabbos and maybe things are not as I would like them. People aren't ready, whatever it might be. So sometimes people get upset. Person walks in and maybe I'm hungry and I want to eat and whatever. It's not the running around, this, that. And I will say, how you act in those first moments of coming into the home when there's a little bit of a bahala and things aren't as you want, that will determine the quality of the fabric of the rest of your Shabbos. If you keep it together and you say, okay, maybe there's a lot of stuff going on over here, whatever it might be, and not, why isn't everyone ready? But instead, here's a novel idea. What can I do to help? Clearly things are a little bit hectic over here. So what can I do to help? I am starving. I haven't eaten anything since lunch. Why can't everybody just get everything together? Okay, whatever it is, there might be stuff going on. But Lamaisa, walk into Shabbos and don't go ahead and bring up the level of hecticite. But go ahead and instead be an agent of change, be a person who's willing to help. Lemaisa, again, that literally creates the avira for the rest of Shabbos. The Gemara goes right. Amar Belazar, li'olum yisadra adam shulchan b'erev Shabbos. Person should always go ahead and set his table on erev Shabbos. Afa pi she'enu tzarech ela l'kizayis. Even though a person is going to only have a very small meal, a person should still say, they will say, it's actually this concept, by the way, that even if a person, let's say I'm eating out all my meals on Shabbos, so a person should still go ahead and set their table. Now, lav dafka, you have to set your table with all of your dishes in it, but the idea is that the table should be set l'kavod Shabbos. It should just be clear that the table looks different for now that it's Shabbos. So whether it's that you put a tablecloth on, I am not eating at home at all. Okay, but lamaisa, the covered Shabbos, you set the table in some way. So Amar Chanina, li'olam yisadar adam shulchana b'matzei Shabbos, afa pi she'ino tzarech el l'kizayis. So furthermore, melav malka, a person should set their table on matzei Shabbos, even though I'm only going to eat the kizayis. Whereas I'm going to eat very little. Mostly, especially this time of year, where it comes lav malka, a person may not really be in the mood for a full-fledged meal. But Lama said to set the table in some nice way, l'kavod malav malka. So the Gemara says, afa pi she'ino tzarech el l'kizayis, chamin b'matzei Shabbos, melugma. Mostly, by the way, having a hot drink on Matzei Shabbos is a good remedy. Apparently, again, a hot drink, a hot glass of tea or whatever you're going to drink is good. It has a good medicinal impact on Matzei Shabbos. Pascha Matzei Shabbos melugma. Simply warm bread on Matzei Shabbos is good for remedies. Rabbi Avo, hava avdin le bafuke Shabbos, igla tilsa. Let's listen to this. Hava acham in le kul yosa. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Avo, you see very makbid on Malava Malka, the meal on Matzei Shabbos, and what they would do is, they would shecht from an igla tilsa. I will say igla tilsa is either a third born calf or a calf that has reached half of one third of its maturity. Either way, it was a very expensive animal. And the only thing he would eat from the animal was the kidney. I mean, who doesn't like kidney on Matzah Shabbos, right? So we'll say, so Lamaisa again, that's all he would eat. So he would just eat the kidney, and that was it. So this is incredible. Ki gadol Avimi Rei, when his son Avimi got older, Amar Lei, lama lecha l'afsudi kol ha'ah? I don't understand. Dad, why do you shecht? First of all, it's so good to know that everyone's children, as they get older, clearly are much smarter than their parents. Right, so this is a very affirming dynamic, because apparently over here, even Rabbi Avo's son, when he gets older, right, says to his father, Dad, why are you shechting a whole animal from a lava malk if you're only eating the kidney? I have a better idea. Nish, the Gemara says, Nishba kul yasam imale shabsa. We're shechting animals anyway on Erev Shabbos for the meal on Shabbos. Right? Just save the kidney from Matzah Shabbos. Right, put it on ice or however, whatever you need to do, right? And just save the kidney from Matzah Shabbos. Why are you shechting a whole new, brand new animal for Matzah Shabbos? So let's listen to this. So Shavkua. So that week, obviously, you know what? So Rabbi Abba said, you're right. You know what? They had a igla tosa set aside for Matzah Shabbos. They left it alone. They didn't shecht it. Asa arye achle. And a lion came along and ate the calf. So the calf that they were going to shecht from Matzah Shabbos, that they decided not to shecht from Matzah Shabbos because they were going to use the kidney from the animal front they shecht on Erev Shabbos, a lion came along and ate that animal. Obviously, a sign from above saying, don't skimp on your Malava Malka. This is the way you did it. There's a beautiful holiness to keeping that Malava Malka. Don't scale back. I'm Rosh Hashanah Levi. Kola Ona, we'll say first of the widest line, Kuf Yotes on the base. Kola Ona, Amen Yehesh Yerav Mavorak, B'chol Kokol Koron Lo Gizar Dina. We'll say now, different discussion. Whoever answers, Amen Yehesh Yerav, with all of his might, so they tear up his divine decree. That even if a person, Chas B'Shalom, is decreed to have punishments or anything else, they tear it all up. Shnei Amar, Befroa Peros B'Yisrael, B'Snadev Am Baruch Hashem. My time of Befroa Peros, ultimately, and why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu go out and pay up the debt? Mishum De Baruch Hashem, because we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you say Amen Yehishan with all of your koach, ultimately, again, any debts, quote unquote, that you owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are torn up. Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Abba, Amr, Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Yesh Bo Shemesh Shalav Odezor Mochen Lo. Even if there's some idolatry, some little bit of idolatry that you have, it's forgiven with Amen Yehesh Meirab. Ksiv Hacha, Befroa Peros, Ksiv Hasam Kiparuahu. Amr Yish Lakish, Kola Ona Amen B'chol Kocho. Well, let's listen to this. If you answer Amen with all of your koach, Rebos, I want to point out, all of your koach, people think this means screaming at the top of your lungs. I would venture to say, most of us are uncomfortable screaming Amen Yehesh Rab or Amen on the top of our lungs, right? B'chol kocho means with kavana. With kavana, yes, you're supposed to say it loud. That is true. In other words, there's supposed to be an element of audibility over here. But you don't have to be that guy. Everyone knows that guy, right? You don't have to be that guy, right? So b'chol kocho just simply means with kavana. With kavana, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your name should be recognized. Your name should be great. How much better would the world be? How much better would the world be if the world recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We look around. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, we hear that there's a version of the Messianic era where the only difference is that everyone recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The world goes on, but everyone recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the world around us. How much better would the world be if everyone bowed their knee to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much different would the world be if everyone bowed their knee to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May your name be great. Say it with kavana. You don't have to scream it. Say it with kavana. And look at the, and whatever iniquities, which we all have, whatever bad things HaKadosh Baruch Hu tears up the notes of indebtedness that we have. Amen. What happens when you answer Amen with all of your koach? Poschino Shari Gan Eden. Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up the gates of Gan Eden to me. Pretty incredible. Shnei Amar, Pishu Sha'arim V'yavo Goy Tzadik. Shomer Amunim. Atikri Shomer Amunim Ela Sha'omrim Amen. A little bit of a play on the word. Don't write it as Shomer Amunim, but rather Sha'omrim Amen. My Amen. We'll say, what's the special Amen? Amrim Chanina, Kel Melech Ne'eman. Amen is a contraction. Amen means Kel Melech Ne'eman. God, you are the trustworthy king. Right? Which I will say, ultimately, again, Amen is an ultimate statement of faith. Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only are you the king, but you're Ne'eman. I believe in you to always come through. I'm going to read the Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah Dravav. Ein had leika mitzuya, ela b'makom sheish chilul Shabbos. We'll say a very scary Gemara. Fires only break out in places where there is Shabbos desecration. So the Gemara says, Shene'emar, v'im lo sishmu elai l'kadish es yom HaShabbos, so remember again, the pasuk over here says the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, because Yirmiyahu was saying again, one of the things Yirmiyahu had to give Klal Yisrael Musar about was about Shabbos. And if you don't listen to me to sanctify the Shabbos day, ultimately, again, I will cause the fires to come in your gates. It will destroy the palaces of Yerushalayim. You cannot extinguish it. What does it mean you can't extinguish it? A time when people are not able to go and extinguish it. I will say, what's a time when you can't extinguish a fire fully? Shabbos. Because maybe I will say, we're talking about just before that halacha lemaisa, what you're allowed to save on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to save on Shabbos. So it's good that you just can't go ahead and put out a fire. So the Gemara understands over here that sometimes a fire, especially on Shabbos, could be indicative, chas shalom, of chilul Shabbos. Amar Abaye, lo charv Yerushalayim, will say, again, I just want to point out. So now we see all of these Gemaras regarding ultimate Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, which have been beautiful. Now the Gemara is going to transition a little bit into Gemaras about why Yerushalayim was destroyed. We'll say, we're in Chodesh Tammuz. We're less than a week away from Shivasar B'Tammuz, right? The week from yesterday is Shivasar B'Tammuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks. And here, the gift of the Lina Rav, the gift of Daf Yomi, is beginning to sensitize us to the Chorban. Amr Abaye, Lo Charvi Yerushalayim El Shoshvil Shechilu Bas HaShabbos. Yerushalayim was only destroyed because there was wanton Chilu Shabbos, wanton Shabbos desecration. Shene Amar, Umishab Sosi, So we're going to see different reasons as to why Chazal understand the Chorban occurred. So one opinion saying, ultimately, again, because they were lax in Shabbos observant. Second opinion says, they were lax in they didn't say Kriyashma, Shene Amar, in the morning and the evening. Hoy mashkime boker shachar yudofu, ksiv, Vayakinor v'neval sol v'chalav v'yayim mishsehem v'espoal Hashem lo yabitu k'siv lochim gola ami mibli das. From Avraham Nuno, lo charv Yerushalayim ela b'shul shebitel ba tinoko shel beis rabon. Third opinion of Osai. Why did the Churban occur? Because young children stopped learning Torah. Young children stopped learning Torah. Shnei Amar, shvoch al olo b'chutz. Matam shvoch. Why did Hashem Baruch Hu pour his wrath upon Yerushalayim? Mishum ola de ola bachutz, because children were outside of the yeshivas, right? Because children weren't learning. Amar ula. So we'll say keep a tally of this, because each of these also we're going to see. We'll say there's not who's right, who's wrong. These are all different elements of the Churban. There was a lack of Shabbos observance. There was a lack of recitation of Kriyat Shema, Kabbalah Salachu Shemayim. The children weren't being brought up in the right way. They were outside. They weren't in Beis Rabban. They weren't learning. Amar Ula, Lo Charv Yerushalayim El Bnei Shelo Hayalahem Boshes Panim Zemizeh. They both say people were no longer embarrassed one in front of the other. One in front of the other. So what does that mean? Rabbi says, "Shnei Amar Hovishu Kiso Eva Asu Gambosh Lo Yavosh." Rabbi says, "What does that mean?" Rabbi says, "It means that people always sin. We always sin. We're human beings, but at least there's an element of busha that I don't want to do something wrong in front of you. I may do it behind closed doors, and that's a lack of my belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at least it's an element of respect. I'm embarrassed in front of you. There's a fundamental breakdown in society." When people aren't even embarrassed to sin one in front of the other, that's when Yerushalayim was destroyed. Rav Yisrael, Chav Yerushalayim ela b'shil shehush v'katan v'gadol. What is incredible? Why was Yerushalayim destroyed? Because ultimately, it wasn't, there was no respect for authority, no societal hierarchy. Right? The gadol was the same as the katan. The katan was the same as gadol. It was a fundamental breakdown of respect for authority. Shnei Amar v'yaka am ki koin uksib basrei. He bok tibok ha'aretz. Amrav Aram Reid Rabbi Shimon, Par Abba Rav Shimon, Abba Aram Mechanino, Lo Charv Yerushalayim Ela B'Shil, Shlochichu zedzeh. Why was Yerushalayim destroyed? Because people stopped rebuking one another. As we'll say, that what happened? The society adopted a live and let live policy. You do whatever you want, I'll do. Which we'll say, at times is good. Meaning there is an element to that. I'm not supposed to judge you, you're not supposed to judge me, and let's go on with our lives. But when we see things that are fundamentally undermining the moral fabric of a society, the spiritual fabric of a society, then we have an obligation to stand up and push back. So why was Yerushalayim destroyed? Because people saw things that were happening and they did not stop it. They did not stand up to wrong. Shene'emar, hayu sarea ke'ilim, ke'ayolim lo matzu mira, ma'ayol zeh, rosh shal zeh b'tzad znavo shal zeh. We'll say, just like a ram. So one ram's head is by the other ram's tail. Af yisrael shaba osador, kav shu p'nei b'karko, v'lo chichu zeh zeh. So they hid their heads in the tail of the other. Interesting metaphor. Right? So ultimately, again, so they hid their heads in the ground. They hid their heads in the ground that they pretend like they didn't see. They both say, so this is incredible. Why was Yerushalayim destroyed? They both say, so here's what's terribly always so saddening about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban could have been prevented. I'll say all of, if you notice, by the way, all of these things could have been prevented. But this last one really catches my attention, because this last one is saying people were blinded to the societal ills. All of these things were happening. They weren't saying Kriya Shema. The children weren't learning. Shabbos wasn't being observed. There was no busha. And what happened? Really, leadership. Leadership hid their head in the ground and just chose not to see what was occurring. And as a result, things continued to unravel to a point of no return. Yerushalayim was destroyed. Why? Because ultimately, again, the populace degraded Talmidei Chachamim. And because they degraded Talmidei Chachamim, therefore, again, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Umisasim benaviyav ad alos chamos Hashem biyamo ad leim rapa. My ad leim rapa. What does it mean that they did these things until there was no healing? Rav Yehuda, Rav Kalam Mevaza Talmud Chacham, ain't lo refu lemakaso. Because that's ultimately, again, whoever degrades the Talmud Chacham, there is no healing for that wound. Yerbo say, at the moment that Talmidei Chacham are degraded, that's not just a lack of respect for the Talmud Chacham. That's a lack of respect for Torah and a lack of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment that Talmidei Chachamim are degraded and mistreated is the moment that the spiritual fabric of society becomes undone. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai Dichsev, Al Tigu B'Mashiach B'Mivayat HaReyu. What does it mean? That ultimately, again, do not touch my anointed ones and do not harm my prophets. Al Tigu B'Mashiach Elu Tinoko Shal Beis Rabban. I will say, this is so beautiful. Who are the Mashiachai? Who are the anointed ones? Those are the children. Those are the children, I was saying. That how careful we have to be with the spirituality of our children. How careful we have to be to put our children in the right environment. How careful we have to be to build the right kind of homes so that our children's spirituality are sustained. How careful we have to be with what we allow our children to be exposed to. Because sometimes as adults, what appears to us to be innocuous and not such a big deal, because again, to be honest, as adults, our sensitivities are dramatically dulled. We forget that our children are still pristine, hopefully, right? Our children are still pure. Our children are still good. Our children are still not cynical, not jaded. And how careful we have to be to maintain their beautiful spirituality. What does it mean that my prophets don't harm? This refers ultimately again to Talmidei Chacham. We'll say, listen to this Gemara. Listen to this Gemara. I'm Reish Lakish. Mishram Yehuda. Mishram Yehuda ben Isiya. Eme olam iskaim ela behevel tinoka shal Beis Rabban. The world is only sustained because of the Torah learning of children. It is literally the breath of tinoko shal Beis Rabban. I will say, when a child learns, they obviously, I don't know what the right word is, they exhale, right? So they exhale their breath. That breath, From learning of children is what sustains the world. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi say, I'm going to Papa that Abaye vididach ma'i." So Rabbi Papa was a little bothered by this. Rabbi Papa says, "Turn to Abaye. What about us? Chop liver, right? My learning doesn't sustain the world, right? The children's learning sustains the world, and my learning doesn't." So Abaye responds, "Amar le, ein adoma hevel sheyesh bochet, the hevel she'ein bochet." ultimately, again, I will say you can't compare breath that is sinless with breath that is sinful. When children learn Torah, it's pure. So I will say when adults learn Torah, so we're in the learning, Baruch Hashem, but my intentions aren't always pure. Maybe I want to become a Talmud Chacham because I want honor, I want kavod. Right? Maybe I want this. In other words, children, when they learn, there's a purity. There's a purity. So Abayis is back to our Papa. Our learning, of course, is great, but it's not nearly as pure as the learning of children. Shabbos say, why it is so incredibly important that if a person, Baruch Hashem, has children at home, to learn with those children. I don't mean 5 hours a day, yeah, but again, especially these coming Shabbos, to make sure that there's learning that happens on a table. And if your children are not home, Baruch Hashem, there's a telephone, there's something called the FaceTime, or the Google, or the Zoom, right? You could go ahead and you could use all of these things to communicate with children, to learn with our children. What's that? Because ultimately, again, at the end of the day, the world is sustained, not through our learning. Isn't that incredible? Right? You think to yourself, what? I get up every single morning at the wee hours of the morning to go ahead and learn. And the world, and no, it's not true. The world is sustained through our Torah. But Lamaisa said the purest Torah that sustains the world is the Torah of children. Similarly, again, we'll say on that same theme, Amrei Shlokish Shurma Yehuda Nisiyah, Ein Levatlin Tinogar Shal Beis Rabban Afil Labinyan Beis HaMikdosh. We'll say, isn't this incredible? Right? Ultimately, again, when Mashiach comes and we rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, so I'm going to have to take off from work. You're going to have to take off from work. And if Mashiach comes at 5:45 in the morning, we're not going to tell him, Mashiach, listen, it's Tzidkas HaTzadik over here. We're going to be with you. The Tzidkas HaTzadik, then the Daf, we're showing up to build the Beis HaMikdosh right after Shachris. No. Mashiach comes, everything stops, including our Torah. Including our Torah. Our learning stops when Mashiach comes. But yet, whose learning doesn't stop? The learning of children. The Tinogo Shabbos Rabban, their learning is so pure that even when Mashiach comes, we don't interrupt their learning to build a Beis HaMikdash. Amar Yish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, Kach Mikov Lana Me'avosai, Varmer Le'Mavosach, Kol Ir She'ein Ba Tinogo Shabbos Rabban, Machrivin Oso. Ultimately, again, the Kabbalah, I have any city that does not have children learning in it, such a city is destroyed. Machriven osa? Is that literally, again, Ravina Omer, Machriven osa va'am rava lo chav yushan ela b'shil shepas kemena anshe, so I'll say fine. So I'll say, so ultimately, again, you see that any city that does not have children learning in it, unfortunately, is destroyed. One more line, va'am rava lo chav yushan ela b'shil shepasku mimena anshe amana. Ultimately, again, I will say that why is Yerushalayim destroyed? Yerushalayim was destroyed because Anshei Amana, trustworthy men, were no longer present in it. Shneimar Shotudu Bechutzos Yerushalayim Uruuna Udu Ubikshu Becharoseh Imtimsu Ish Oseh Mishmar Pnevakish Amuna VeEslach La. Ultimately, again, I will say. So, what do you see? You see that ultimately Yerushalayim was destroyed because Anshe Amana, trustworthy men. So we'll have to stop over here for today. The Anshe Amana continues in Meretz Hashem into tomorrow's Zebrabos. I just want to show you over the course of, I know we went a little bit long, but over the course of 1 hour and 8 minutes, Rabosai, we've covered Erev Shabbos, we've covered Shabbos, we've covered Tinoko Shabbos, found the power of children, the Churban by Yishon, Rabosai. Again, it is Hashkacha that we're doing this Gemara Erev Shabbos, because I would urge you, I just have to ask you, Mechila, I didn't even deliver. I didn't even properly deliver today. Because why? Because at the end of the day, we did this so quickly. Oh, no, we went longer. We did it so quickly. So I urge you, there's gold. This blot. If you were stuck on a desert island and you could only take one page with you, you would take Shabbos Kuf Yotes 119. Because I will say, again, everything was in here. So I would urge you again over the course of today, legal holiday today, maybe you have some time to work, or Shabbos, Chazer this Gemara, share with your spouse or with your friends or with your children this Gemara. Hafach bava, hafach bada, kula bava. Everything is in this daf. Hosea Shikach. Tomorrow night, the daf will be given to Meretz Hashem by Rabbi Yehuda Neuberger. The Agarata does continue a little bit on the top up until the Mishnah. Then we'll get back to some other beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Wishing everyone a beautiful and wonderful Erev Shabbos, a restful and beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, and a happy 4th of July. Say Shikach to everyone. Thank you for joining us. Shikoyach.